If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Atlantic Coast Mortgage, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 643-114.
Welcome to The Flight by Yuengling, Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show. Charlie Romeliotis here at the United Center, where the Blackhawks had some chances late in the third period and in overtime, but unfortunately fall to the Nashville Predators 3-2 with 3:55 left in overtime. And Hawks are about to embark on a four-game road trip, so an unfortunate way to go to go into the road trip. I'm going to bring in Steve Conroy now to help me break down this game. And Steve, man, the Hawks had their chances in the third period, and even in overtime, Connor Bedard, I think that was the second shot off the knob of the stick in the game today that could have ended it in overtime, but unfortunately it was stopped, and Nashville goes the other way and scores the overtime winner.
Yeah, I mean, Connor played great. He had the goal, did everything but win this hockey game, you know, drew a couple penalties, took a penalty himself, though, which wasn't costly, but I think they ended up scoring right at the tail end of when he came out of the box. You hate to look at guys and say that's the reason we lost the game, because it's a team game. But I look at the opportunities. Andre Burakovsky, and he played really well tonight. Loved the way he played defensively, offensively, made a number of great plays up the ice. He had four shots and unfortunately did not score. And he's only had one goal in his last 21 games. He's a guy that you really rely on, especially with a young team, to lead the way and to be a goal scorer. Frank Nazar, I know he's a young guy, but it's his, you know, he's gotten his feet wet in the NHL. It would be a great opportunity for him to step up, as he has in the past, and scored some clutch goals. He did the World Championships last year for Team USA. He had an opportunity with literally an open net, partly fanned on it, maybe the puck was on edge, and then literally 10 seconds later had a chance to dive and just poke one in, and he couldn't. And the puck did not go in for him. And if he scores at that time, it's still 2-2. Blackhawks are on a power play. They go up 3-2, and there's still, you know, a couple minutes to go, but you've got the lead. Instead, it goes to the overtime. And Philip Forsberg, how about this? Two shots on the night, two goals, including the game winner in overtime. So I mentioned it with John right at the end of the game. It's 24 games now out of the last 27 where they've scored three or fewer goals. That puts a lot of pressure on your goaltenders, and on your defensemen, too.
Or is it two or fewer?
No, it's three or fewer.
Oh, three or
yeah,
fewer.
It is three or fewer. I would have to do the math on the two or fewer, but it's certainly three or fewer. And listen, three, you know, most hockey games are 3-2, and tonight's was 3-2. But, you know, you expect along the way, you know, over 27, 25, 26 games that you're going to score, you know, a bunch of goals and then get on a roll, and that it just breeds confidence. But hasn't been that way for a little bit, and they're going to have to find a way to do that on this Eastern road trip.
Yeah, you mentioned the chances specifically on that power play with 6:02 left in the third period. It was a 2-2 score. Frank Nazar has an opportunity from Teuvo Teravainen. I mean, he has a wide open net and unfortunately just fans on it. Then there was a second opportunity where Tyler Bertuzzi kind of whacked the puck. It fluttered into midair, lands in the crease, and is like a few inches away from the goal line. And Frank Nazar goes to whack it in, and right when he was about to whack it in, Erik Haula's stick gets in the way. And it's just like, oh, man, just two grade-A scoring chances that, unfortunately, the Blackhawks weren't able to capitalize. And I also want to say this. Andre Burakovsky, he has gotten dragged through the mud a little bit, given the scoring drought that he's been on a line with Connor Bedard, but this was certainly one of his better games in a long time. Unfortunately, he didn't have much to show for it, but it was the right move to have him out there for the start of overtime with Connor Bedard. And I don't know, did you think it was a penalty or not? I thought it was ticky-tacky. I'm okay with the no call.
Yeah, especially in overtime. It's 3-on-3. You're battling for a puck. You know, you're getting down. You're hard on your stick. You're trying to be hard on your skates. And Burakovsky ends up going down. And, you know, it was towards the end of a shift, right? Because it was a minute five in. He started the 3-on-3.
Yeah, so he was out there for a good minute.
So now he's tired. And, you know, that's to be expected. I just wish there had been a bit of a rotation there. When a guy goes down, you know, and I know I mentioned Artie Levshinov, you know, if he leaves his guy and his guy scores, we're probably complaining about Levshinov leaving his check. But I think you've got to worry about the guy who's got the grade A scoring chance. And the guy with the grade A scoring chance was Philip Forsberg. And, you know, just slide to him. And then if you slide at him, you can maybe block the shot. And then maybe he can't make the pass to the guy you were covering. But, yeah, I'm okay with that non-call behind the net.
Yeah, I think I had the bigger problem with Artem Levshinov not taking Philip Forsberg, knowing that Burakovsky was on the ground on the ice on the opposite side of where Forsberg was skating, and then Lardis, you know, like we're looking at it now, Lardis was also on the other side of the play, so it would have been hard for Lardis to get over to cover Forsberg. So I think Levshinov was caught in a position where he had to choose between two of them, but I think he unfortunately chose the wrong one. He probably just should have taken the body and let Lardis go and take Brady Shea in the slot.
Yeah, the more dangerous guy there, and I know he's behind the net, so leave him. He's behind the net. You don't have to flush him. But when you see him coming to the front of the net, now you got to make a decision. And he didn't. He kept drifting out to the point, taking the point man, which, you know, if you go to Forsberg, maybe he passes to him. But would you rather have Forsberg shooting, or is that Brady Shea?
Yeah, I think it's Brady Shea.
Yeah, so I'd rather have Brady Shea taking that shot. So, but that, you know, hey, listen, Artie Levshinov's 20 years of age. He's going to learn those things. He's learning them the hard way right now, but those are lessons that, you know, stick with you for a lifetime.
And to be fair, like, maybe this is a conversation that also includes Spencer Knight, because maybe Spencer is saying, focus on the other side, I'll get the shooter, right? So, like, maybe there's a communication with the defenseman that Spencer has communicated, hey, if we ever get in a situation like this, I'll take the shooter, you take the back door. But it wasn't like a true back door play. It was a side door. So Spencer would have been able to see both of them. So
yeah, no, that's a good point. And typically, when I'm playing a 2-on-1, I always give the shooter to the goaltender. But it's a little different because I try to force the guy with the puck to a bad angle, kind of to the outside.
Make him at least think you're coming.
Yeah, right. And then make sure you take away the pass. There's no way the pass can be made. In that situation where the guy's coming from behind the net, if he comes out front, that's basically a mini breakaway right there. And I know that Forsberg has to make a decision quickly, and he did. He went upstairs over the glove. But that's a little different situation than, like, your typical 2-on-1 that's in front of you.
Disappointing result, too, because you were mentioning it with John right before we came over to the postgame show, is Nashville had a game yesterday against the Vegas Golden Knights. They travel from home to Chicago. The Blackhawks had an off day yesterday, and their schedule has been intense, too. So there isn't a team right now that is getting breathing room in the schedule. But it was an opportunity for the Blackhawks, with no morning skate as well today because of the afternoon. The last time they were on the ice was Friday night. So they kind of had a full day yesterday and a full morning to kind of just get ready for the game today. And, again, I thought the Hawks did a lot of good things in this game, but it's an unfortunate result because you want the Blackhawks to start winning these tight games where even when you don't have your best, like if you have your B game, you want to find a way to get it done, because Nashville right now is doing so, and it's a big reason why they've played themselves into the playoff cut, and they're inside the playoff bubble right now in the Western Conference.
Yeah, nobody expected this from Nashville. I mean, they were sellers at the trade deadline. They get rid of McCarron, a big centerman for them, an important guy to their team. Craig Smith, Michael Bunting, another big power forward, and they've done nothing but win since then. So I think this team, the Nashville Predators, trying to prove some people wrong that don't give up on us. We still have a chance. I'm not dead yet, and they're not dead yet. In fact, they're in a playoff.
In fact, they're very alive.
they're in a playoff spot right now. So yeah, good for them, and for the Blackhawks. You know, even after they tied it up 2-2 in the third period, I'm talking about Nashville. Because Blackhawks had a real good second period. They're up 2-1, I think feeling good about themselves. And they allow that goal after the power play, Nashville's power play ended. But the next couple of shifts, they came out and they played in Nashville's zone. I thought, that's a great sign. You give up a goal, you think, oh my gosh, the wind's been let out of your sails. No, the fourth line came out and they played in Nashville's zone. And then the next line came out, the Frank Nazar line, and played in Nashville's zone. So those are positive signs. You know, unfortunately, they just couldn't keep their foot on the gas. And then when they had the opportunity to score a goal, you know, they double-clutched, and they couldn't quite do it.
It should be noted that Matt Grzelcyk left this game 5 minutes into the contest with an injury. So the Hawks essentially played this game with five defensemen. Mm-hmm. And Matt Grzelcyk is the Grizzly veteran on the back end. So you eliminate Matt Grzelcyk, And it's a very young decor for the Blackhawks as it is. But now to do it with five defensemen the entire game, that also probably put an extra strain on some of the young blue liners back there.
Yeah, you know, you get two guys who are 24, and Vlasic and Crevier, and Kaiser's 23, Rinzel 21, and Levshinov. I saw Levshinov and Rinzel killing penalties out there. You know, two 20-year-old kids killing penalties. So Jeff Blashill showing an awful lot of confidence in those guys on the back end. But Matt Grizzlick, yeah, that's a huge loss. Although I can tell you, you know, as a former defenseman, Charlie, loved when we went with 5D. We never went with 5D, but if a guy got hurt or he got thrown out of a game, which typically happened when you play with Dave Manson or Bob McGill, you'd be down to five defensemen, and you just get into a routine. You just get into a real nice flow. So I thought they handled it really well. And I mentioned the numbers for Vlasic. I don't know if it's a career high, but it's certainly a season high for him, over 26 minutes. I didn't think the team lost it because of the way their D played. They certainly missed Matt Grizzlick, but you know, the loss wasn't on the D-men.
Speaking of, we got our on-site reporter, Jack Heinrich, who right now is in the media scrums, and I guess Matt Grizzlick has been ruled out for the rest of the road trip, so he won't be on this road trip, so that's a tough loss. I imagine the Blackhawks are going to make a call-up because they only have six defensemen right now. Usually you like to carry a seventh one on the road, so we'll see who that ends up being. Maybe a guy like Kevin Korchinski slides into the lineup for the road trip. And then last one, speaking of the road trip, it wouldn't be surprising if we do see both Anton Frundell and Sasha Boisvert. Poor Sasha has been here for a week now. We've seen him around the rink, and he has not been able to practice or play in a game because they're still waiting on the immigration papers to get processed, which is normal. Sometimes these things take time, but it is funny. We were talking to Jeff Blashill earlier today in his media availability, and he kind of joked, does anyone know anyone in the U.S. government office that can help speed us along? Because the Hawks are itching to get Boisvert into the lineup. But also, Anton Frundell, his season in the Swedish Hockey League has come to an end, and we had the opportunity to talk to Jeff Blashill a little bit before the game on just kind of what he might be thinking, where he's going to slot into the lineup, and his quote with a smile was, he's going to play with a very good player. So I imagine that means he might be playing with number 98, Connor Bedard, when he does get to the NHL. But we talk about a lot of the chances that the Hawks have gotten. Frundell is a true finisher, so I wonder how much life that he's going to breathe into the Blackhawks. Now, I like what you said to John earlier. You said you don't want to make sure that these guys come over and feel like they have to be saviors.
Yeah.
But it will be nice to have a finisher like Frundell potentially playing top 6 minutes and on the power play to maybe help elevate the chances that the Blackhawks are generating.
Yeah, that's the thing, because not only do they generate chances for themselves, I mean, these guys are good enough to know that when they try to, you know, when they draw coverage and they may get double teamed, they're able to make that play and pass it off to a Connor Bedard or to a Ryan Green, who might be wide open. So, yeah, somebody's going to get thrown into the fire. It'll probably be Frundell, Anton Frundell, to begin with. And as Jeff Blashill mentioned to us before we came upstairs, they don't have a lot of time to practice. When you have three games in four nights, or four and six, there's no time to practice. I literally have to throw a guy in there cold. He's going to get a ton of video work, and Adam Gill and Maddie Meacham do an unbelievable job for the Blackhawks. They're their video coordinators. And so they'll be up to speed on forechecking systems, on defensive zone systems, on what they want to do on the power play, penalty kill, you name it. It might be some overload for those youngsters, but I can remember my first game in the NHL. And your head's spinning, but the most important thing to do is keep it simple and play your game. And Frundell's game, he's a big body. It should be north-south, and fire the puck when you get an opportunity. By the way, I thought the Blackhawks did a lot better job shooting the puck tonight. Only 28 shots, but still, that was something that was really eating at us after that Colorado game. They worked on it, and they weren't passing up really good opportunities.
Yeah, no question. All right, Steve, great job on the call, as always. I think we have some music playing in the background, because I think it's the Chicago policemen versus firefighters game today.
Oh, that's always a good game.
That's always an intense, I don't know if you've ever experienced that, but I'm just realizing now why are some portion of the fans are not leaving, and I think they're sticking around for this game. So it'll be nice. We'll talk again when you head to New York on Tuesday, and I hope you can enjoy some dinner with the family tonight, because it's was a nice afternoon game.
Yeah, plan on taking the wife out to dinner.
All
and
right.
I guess it's gotten colder. It's dropped 30 degrees. I don't know if you noticed.
I was wrestling with the decision leaving today. I'm like, am I bringing a jacket, because I'm leaving and it's 60 degrees, but I know later on it's going to drop to like 30. So I did bring my jacket. I was responsible, but yeah.
Good for you. Good enjoy stuff. The day. Great job as always, Charlie.
All right, thanks, Steve. All right, we got some sound rolling in from the Blackhawks locker room. I believe Nick Lardis and Alex Vlasic spoke to the media a little bit ago. So we'll hear what they had to say when the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show continues on after this on 720 WGN.
Lindholm Roofing has appointments available now to provide you a complete roofing, siding, gutter, and tuck pointing inspection. Call 773-283-7675 or lindholmroofing.com. Tell them that Lou sent you. Lindholm Roofing, their family has your family covered.
Bertuzzi put a pass ahead at center ice. Lardis leads a 2-on-1 break over the Predator line. Put it in front. They score! I believe it's going to be Nick Lardis's goal. He tried to make the pass over for Nazar, and it deflected in behind Saros. Yes, it is. His first goal in 9 games. Nick Lardis scores. It's 1-0 Hawks.
Back here on the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show, Flight is the next generation of light beer. The Blackhawks lose to the Nashville Predators 3-2 in overtime. That goal you just heard was Nick Lardis opening things up here in the game in the second period, 4:34 into the middle frame. That was his 6th goal of the season and his first since January 22nd. So that was his first goal since being called up the second time here with the Blackhawks. And he got put on the second line with Frank Nazar and Tyler Bertuzzi in the second period of Friday's game against the Colorado Avalanche. And then Jeff Blasio ended up electing to stick with those lines, the lines that finished the Colorado game going into tonight's game. And so it was nice to see Nick Lardis find the back of the net. I imagine that did a little bit for his confidence the rest of the game. But I also thought that trio as a whole, the Lardis, Nazar, Bertuzzi line was solid in this game too. If you look at that trio, the numbers, they were on the ice for almost 10 minutes of 5-on-5 ice time in this game. Shot attempts when they were on the ice, 8-3 Chicago, 6-2 shots on goal in favor of Chicago. Scoring chances were 4-3 in favor of the Blackhawks, and then the goals for 1-0. Hawks outscored Nashville 1-0 in the game when that trio was on the ice. So Nick Lardis was part of that. I thought this was one of his better games, just getting more opportunity. Lardis did speak to the media just a short time ago. Let's hear what Lardis had to say.
How do you assess that team performance?
Yeah, it was good. I thought we had a lot of energy. I thought there was, you know, blast it after the game, some details that we could have cleaned up a little bit that maybe led to some good chances for them or a goal. But, you know, I think, you know, we had a lot of energy. You know, I thought the first half of the game we were playing on our toes and, like I said, playing with a lot of energy, playing a good two-way game. So, yeah, I mean, it sucks the result, but I think it was a lot of fun.
That wasn't your usual snipe goal, but always good to see the puck at the back of the net.
Yeah, I was on the bench saying, you know, asking one of the guys whose goal was better, mine or Betsy's, but no, I mean, the goal's a goal, so, you know, I'll take it. It was a good play by Berthier to get it up, and Frankie to drag the net there, so it was good.
When you get an opportunity on a line like that to get some more minutes, get some bigger a bigger role, how important is it to kind of, like, capitalize on that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I just want to show my strengths when I get that opportunity. You know, I thought I was skating pretty well tonight. You know, I thought we generated decent amount of chances. Obviously, as the game got tighter, it kind of got, you know, less and less chances as the game goes on, but that's kind of how it goes when there's tight games. But overall, I thought it was pretty good. I mean, I thought we generated chances and didn't give up, you know, a whole lot. So, yeah.
What did the guys say who had the better goal?
What's that?
What do your teammates say who had the better goal?
They were the ones telling me, you know, a goal's a goal. So yeah, maybe it was a tie. I don't know. I didn't want to answer it.
All right, that was Blackhawks forward Nick Lardis talking about his team's performance. And yeah, it wasn't exactly the way that Nick Lardis probably drew up that goal. It ended up going off of the defender's stick and in. So there was a two-on-one opportunity that was brewing. But, hey, you get that puck to the net or you try to you go to the net and good things happen. And so Nick Lardis kind of creating his luck in that one, and it did find the back of the net for his sixth of the season. How about Alex Vlasic on the back end for the Blackhawks? We're going to get to the total ice times later, but he logged a season-high 26 minutes and 34 seconds of ice time in this game. He also picked up the secondary assist on Nick Lardis' goal. Let's hear what Vlasic had to say after this game.
Did a good amount right in this one.
Yeah, I think, you know, we just kind of talked about our energy level was there. We were competing a lot harder than the other night. Gave up a few too many chances, and, you know, they're obviously a good team, and, yeah, we just got to minimize, some of those plays that they were able to make.
After Grizzlick went down, all the D played a ton of minutes. How did you guys handle it?
I thought everybody did a great job, yeah. It was, never easy to lose a guy like that, minutes-wise, but also just within the locker room. He's a big part of our team, so to have him go down was a tough loss, but I thought everybody did a great job of stepping up.
I know you guys are never looking for some 18-year-old to come in here and save the day, but how excited are you to see what Anton Vrandel can do?
Yeah, I heard a lot about him. Seen he's a really good player, so he'll definitely be able to bring some excitement, and he seems pretty lethal with the puck. So, yeah, we're pumped to get him and hopefully have a great stretch down the end here.
What have you made of skating a pair with Lechenal to win these games?
Yeah, he's been great. I think he's been playing some really good hockey. I think he's been, playing hard, playing good defense first, and we've been having some success, so it's been fun, and he's full of energy. He's a great great person. So for me, it's been a fun opportunity to play with him.
Has it been tough to swallow some of the overtime shootout losses this year? I think that's 13 of them, and certainly an area where the record hasn't been great.
Yeah, it feels like we've been to overtime quite a bit this year. I think we got to figure out, the games that we're leading in, going into the third period, towards the end of the third period, we got to find a way to close those out. And then the ones that we end up tying, we got to figure out a way to, win in overtime or win in the shootout. It's, everybody's got a great three-man roster every time they're rolling out three guys. So, whatever it is, we got to make sure that we're capitalizing on those chances to get the extra point.
All right, that was Blackhawks defenseman Alex Vlasic talking about his team's performance in this game, but also a great question and point by Ben Pope of the Chicago Sun-Times and how many points the Blackhawks have left on the table in overtime/shootout this season. It was really a struggle of the Blackhawks at the beginning of the season, and then they kind of went through a little bit of a run where they were performing pretty well in overtime and a shootout, and now it feels like the Hawks have been letting those extra points slip away. And I remember earlier in the season, I think it was like the first 3 months of the season, the Blackhawks and Anaheim Ducks were around the same spot in the standings, or I want to say maybe Anaheim was like eight or 9 points ahead of the Blackhawks in the standings. But if you looked at their overtime and shootout record and flip-flopped them, like the Hawks had a really poor overtime shootout record, Anaheim had a really solid overtime and shootout record, and if you flip-flop them, the Blackhawks would essentially be in the same position as the Anaheim Ducks. And so that's got to be a point of emphasis moving forward, or especially when the Blackhawks start to become contenders. And maybe this isn't going to really be an issue much of a hurdle, because the Blackhawks are going to have some more finishers and more polished players. But overtime these days, it feels like it plays such a significant role in the NHL, and you see some of the parity that's been happening in both conferences this year. Like, just really, really bizarre. Some of the teams that are not in a playoff picture in the East, but also in the Western Conference, it hasn't been as solid. And you kind of look at the first three teams in the Central Division, and that's really about it. And so you look at some of the parity in the NHL, gosh, it feels like only like the bottom six teams in the NHL are the ones that are like truly, truly out of the playoff mix. And then there's the murky middle ground that's a really large portion of the NHL standings that are fighting for playoff spots or playoff seedings. And so it feels like every time, especially down the stretch when these games matter, that they're seemingly, like even today, like we were doing the around the NHL updates, and I mentioned three of the four games that have gone final today so far have gone into overtime or a shootout. The Jets and Rangers went into a shootout. Colorado, Washington went into overtime, and then Nashville, Chicago went into overtime. So this is just the time of year where points are so valuable and things are so tight that it feels like these games are going later and later, and there's not much breathing room. And so if you're the Blackhawks and you look at maybe at the end of the season, we'll see where the Hawks end up stacking up. But you might look at the overtime shootout record and be like, man, if the Hawks end up just getting a few extra points here or there in an overtime or a shootout, maybe things could look a little bit differently on where the Blackhawks are at in the standings. So we'll see if the Hawks maybe can improve in that area moving forward and especially going into next season. We got more to get to here on the Flight by Yuengling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show, including Blackhawks head coach Jeff Blashill's postgame press conference. That's coming up next right here on 720 WGN.
Here's Burakovsky in the slot, firing, and a blocker save made by Saros. The other way come the Preds. Yossi to center ice, drops it off the green, took it away. Bedard on a breakaway with the Preds line down the slot. Deeks and Suchi scores! Connor Bedard with his 29th goal on the season brought it to the front of the net. He deeks Saros down and out and beat him with a backhander. 2-1 Hawks.
Nope. Back here on the Flight by Yuengling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show. Flight is the next generation of light beer. The Blackhawks lose to the Nashville Predators 3-2 in overtime. Connor Bedard scored the go-ahead goal in the second period to put Chicago ahead 2-1. That was his 29th goal of the season. He is now in sole possession of first on the team lead with that 29 goals. He was in a lock with Tyler Bertuzzi at 28 before Connor Bedard moved ahead into sole possession. And what a goal it was. If you haven't checked out the highlight, you got to go check it out. He had a really nice move on UC Saros, and he didn't really have to didn't even have to put it in the net. He just kind of had to guide it to the net after the sweet move that he made. So great to see number 98 buzzing yet again in the game for the Blackhawks. Time now for today's Ice Times, sponsored by Rogers and Hollins, the most trusted jewelry store in America for more than 115 years. We mentioned earlier Alex Vlasic logging a season-high 26 minutes and 34 seconds of ice time. He ended up having 32 shifts in the game. The next closest Blackhawk was Artem Lefshinov at 24 minutes and 27 seconds for Chicago. Sam Renzel was at 21:44. Wyatt Kaiser was at 23:02. And then Connor Bedard at 20 minutes and 46 seconds of ice time. How about Roman Josi, though, from the Nashville Predators? He finished with a game-high 27 minutes and 27 seconds of ice time for the Nashville Predators. He is a really big minutes eater for the Nashville Predators. All right, let's hear what Blackhawks head coach Jeff Blashill had to say about his team's performance in a 3-2 overtime loss to the Nashville Predators.
How is Chris like?
He'll miss a little bit. You know, it just depends, honestly. Well, he's going to get it looked at in the next day or two. He'll definitely, I would say, definitely out for this trip, and then we'll go from there. You know, I don't want to put an exact timeline on until I have more information.
He got a ton of minutes as a result of that. How do you feel like they did?
I thought they played pretty good. You know, I thought they played pretty good. I thought, you know, we had a few moments where we kind of had kind of self errors that we didn't need to have, but overall, you know, it's a lot of minutes and a lot of young D that, and I think they overall did a good job and continued another opportunity to grow.
Great game with a really nice primary assist for Ryan Green.
Yeah.
He's, I don't think any of us saw him being on the top line situation all year long. What have you seen out of him, and has he proven himself to you?
Well, it's interesting, right? Like, you get a chance every day to kind of, you know, build your resume, and he's done a good job of building that in a positive fashion. And, you know, what he is he's not chaotic in his game. His game's pretty calm, and he's pretty smart. So I think that helps him play with a guy like with Connor, because he can kind of read off him, and he doesn't have a lot of like just crazy moments. He just plays a pretty, I don't want to say simple game, but it's simple enough, but yet can make a pass and can make a good feed in those situations. And he's pretty good defensively. So he's been a good, we'll see where it goes. At some point I may have to try him out at center a little bit more as this kind of keeps going through the year and the last whatever games we have left. But he's done a good job kind of being a good complementary player in the top line.
Overtimes have continued. continued to be a challenge? Is there anything you took away from this one?
No. I mean, overtimes, there's so much. You know, you get three guys on the ice. You got a little bit of systematic stuff. But to say that, you know, you have all this comes down to kind of guys making, you know, plays. And, you know, we lost the puck, and next thing you know, it's kind of in our net. I thought Berkey played great tonight. So, it, you know, it was a little bit unfortunate. And then we didn't quite react to the breakdown, and it goes in the net. You know, that's certainly something. If our overtimes had been better, our record would be much better. I certainly recognize that. But we got a lot of other things that we're looking at as well and that we need to continue to improve on. But there's a, I don't want to say there's a little bit of happenstance in overtime. I won't use the word luck because I don't believe in luck. But there's a little bit of happenstance in overtime. That's reality. And so we just got to keep finding ways to you know, make the better play than the other team.
Like, San Jose is in the playoff picture right now, and it's, they have the same regular season record as you guys.
Yeah,
basically.
Yeah.
Is that frustrating when it is that kind of crapshoot of overtime deciding?
It's frustrating in the sense that, you know, it's frustrating that we haven't been better at it. You know, not that that's the format or anything. I get it. Like, I'm a fan of 3-on-3, to be honest with you. I think you got to end the game, all that kind of stuff. But, you know, it sucks for us that we haven't been better at it. So, is it a point of something that we need to get better at? Yes. Is there certain things that, you know, we'll see as we go through and guys get more experience in these situations. Hopefully we continue to get better at it. And because, you know, again, it's a huge factor in your record.
What do you think of Lardis with Bertuzzi?
That was Nick's best game since he's been up. You know, I thought he was, you know, I've used him with good players throughout at different times. You know, he's played a decent amount with Connor, played a decent amount, you know, he used him up the second half of last game in that kind of same spot. And this was the best he's played because he skated. So I thought he did a good job that way.
Markovsky had four shots today, I think, more than any of your other players. Do you think he has been creating enough scoring chances despite him not scoring much this season?
Listen, we need production out of him. We all get that. He gets that. Sometimes you don't totally control that. I thought his effort's been great, and I thought he played with confidence tonight. Sometimes you see a guy out there, you can tell he doesn't have confidence. He looks like he has confidence, but he's certainly snake-bitten. You know, I would say historically it says if he keeps getting those chances that it'll happen for him, because historically he's a better point producer than what he's been in the last stretch. So, you know, we'll see.
All right, that was Blackhawks head coach Jeff Blashill talking about his team's performance in this loss. I thought the one noteworthy thing he said there was he thought it was Nick Lardis's best game of the season, or since being called up in the second half of this season for the Blackhawks. And I'm right there with you, with Jeff. And partly because he did get has gotten the opportunity now to be skating on a second line, and he's getting that second power play time, which he was getting in the past. But when you kind of get relegated to the fourth line, you kind of put so much pressure on yourself on each shift that maybe I think, like, even though Jeff Blashill went to the Nick Lardis up into the top six with Nazar and Bertuzzi in the middle of the last game against Colorado, I think knowing that Lardis was going to start the game on the second line and on the power play maybe kind of helped free him up a little bit, where he didn't have to kind of start on the fourth line, and then he had to earn his way into that top six ice time, and then kind of put pressure on himself to actually stay there. Maybe he kind of felt a little bit freer in this one as well. And Nashville, obviously, they don't have the same type of skaters that the Colorado Avalanche have as well. And so I imagine that maybe played a factor as well. But I thought Nick Lardis' line was certainly excellent in this game. We heard the injury update there from Blackhawks head coach Jeff Blashill on Matt Grizzlick. He will not be on the trip. So I'm expecting the Blackhawks to make some sort of call-up, maybe Kevin Korchinski or whatever, before they go on this four-game road trip, because I don't think the Hawks are going to want to go on the road trip with just six defensemen. When we were mentioning earlier the ice times, Matt Grizzlick only had two shifts in the game, 152, and that's the reason why the Blackhawks' young defensemen ended up logging a lot more ice time than they're typically used to seeing. So hopefully Matt Grizzlick isn't out for too long, but he will not be playing for the next four games for the Blackhawks. We got one more break to get to, and then we're going to wrap up the Flight by Yuengling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show after this on 720 WGN. Back here on the Flight by Yuengling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show, Flight is the next generation of light beer. The Hawks fall to the Nashville Predators 3-2 in overtime. Unfortunately, the Blackhawks weren't able to get a win in this game because Chicago Bears head coach Ben Johnson was in the building with his kids. He got a deafening ovation when he was shown on the Jumbotron. And I was hoping that if the Hawks picked up a win today, maybe Jeff Blashill or Ben Johnson would sneak inside the Blackhawks locker room and do a quick good, better, best for the boys. But unfortunately, we will never find out. Time now for a Blackhawks prospect update. Let's check in on our next generation of players, sponsored by Flight by Yingling, the next generation of light beer. Got to do an update on Anton Frundell, number 3 overall pick from the Blackhawks. His Swedish Hockey League season is over after they were eliminated in the best of 3 opening round. He finished this season with 28 points, 20 goals, 8 assists in 43 games. He also added 2 points with a goal and an assist in 3 postseason contests. The one goal that he did score was the overtime winner in the opening round. He's the 4th teenager to score 20 or more goals in SHL history, and the first since Daniel Sedin did so in the 98-99 season. Should also mention Frundell had 8 points in 7 games at the World Juniors for Team Sweden, who won a gold medal. He had 5 goals and 3 assists over that stretch. Going to be interesting to see where the Blackhawks are going to slot him into the lineup. I would not be surprised if it's on the left wing on Connor Bedard's line. We did talk to Jeff Blashill earlier today, and he kind of hinted that he's going to play with a very good player, and he has been playing left wing in Sweden this year, so I wouldn't be surprised if that's kind of where the Blackhawks put him right out of the gate. And so hopefully he can play as soon as Tuesday against the New York Islanders. Time for today's next game preview, sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. Hawks are going to be back in action Tuesday against the New York Islanders. 6 o'clock start, 5:30 pregame show. Hawks are starting a 4-game road trip, and they're going to do so against number 1 overall pick Matthew Schaefer, the Calder Trophy favorite, potential Norris Trophy candidate as well. Man, he's having a sensational season. He scored a goal in the last game. They are playing tonight as well against Columbus, but he scored a goal in the last game to give him 22 on the season. He needs one more goal to tie Brian Leetch for most goals by a rookie defenseman in NHL history. Leetch had 23 with the New York Rangers in the 88-89 season, and Schaefer is also the youngest 18-year-old defenseman in NHL history to hit the 50-point plateau mark. So just a sensational season that Matthew Schaefer is having, and we're going to get to see him on Tuesday when the Blackhawks go to UBS Arena. Blackhawks hockey has been sponsored by Citgo. Score savings on every fill-up with Club Citgo. Download the app now to start saving. United Airlines, your Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealers, and Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. That'll do it for our broadcast today. Big thanks to our on-site reporter, the one and only Jack Heinrich. Our production crew of Tony DeNardis and Eli Burke, they were led by our engineers, the Hall of Famer Paul Zerang, our fearless Colonel Brett Jackson, and our captain Krista Flores. For John Weideman and Steve Conroy, who brought you the call, I'm Charlie Romeliotis signing off after a 3-2 overtime loss to the Predators. Thanks for being with us, and we'll talk to you on Tuesday.